Lord God, thank you that you delight to reveal yourself to us, to connect with us, to establish relationship with us. Lord, open our eyes afresh today, open our hearts afresh today. Lord, that we may have one of those wow moments, one of those epiphany moments, a moment of revelation where we learn and understand and enter into more of your truth and your fullness. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, happy new year, everyone. Nice to see you all. This morning, I've entitled this sermon, Journeying Together with the End in Mind. I know journeying together is a phrase that St. Thomas' community use quite a bit. It's journeying together with the end in mind. Part of my post-Christmas TV binging has been to watch the BBC's Around the World in 80 Days. Somebody else has been watching that with David Tennant. Well, as you might be familiar with the story, Phileas Fogg has entered into a wager. And the end in mind that he has on his journey is to win the wager, to get back within 80 days and to win the wager, the money. In the third episode, Phileas has a conversation with his travel companion and journalist, Abigail. It's Fogg and Phipps, their nicknames. And they have this conversation. It's after Phileas's life has just been saved, and Abigail has just learnt that her dad wasn't the hero that he claimed to be. Rather, he was a liar. Both of them, Fogg and Phipps, from their perspectives... for their perspectives and their understandings of the world, are being challenged and changed as they go on this journey. After they've left their privileged and settled lifestyles and comfortable lifestyles in London, travelling around the world, they are being changed. They're facing new perspectives on truth. And I love one bit of the dialogue in the third episode where Abigail is facing the unpalatable truth that her dad wasn't who he claimed to be and was in fact a liar. And she asks Phileas, do you believe the things that they said about him? And Phileas answers, a week ago I'd have said no, absolute rot. But then... was when the world was black and white. England were 273 at tea. If only that were the case at the moment. And every question had its answer. And now, she asks, I stopped a bullet meant for the President of France. I looked down on Paris from a balloon. I manoeuvred a steam train over an Italian ravine. Today my life is saved by an Arab and a disgraced Englishwoman. And now I discover my oldest and dearest friend may not be a hero after all, just a man who made some mistakes. By going on a journey away from their comfort zone, Phileas and Fix and their companion, their eyes are opened to the complexities of life, that the world is not black and white, that actually the truth about life is bigger and more varied than they'd previously known or understood. A world, would you believe, where England don't always win the cricket. Shocking. Their world is getting bigger. And they are being changed. They're being changed by the different cultures and belief systems that they come across, by the problems and situations they encounter, and perhaps most by the people that they meet. Their view of the world as a result will become richer and broader. In our gospel reading today, we encounter some other people on a long journey. They too have the end in mind, to journey together until they find a newborn king, so that they may pay him homage. In their epiphany moment of meeting the Christ child, the lives of the Magi are also changed forever. Matthew tells us when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. God had got their attention in what we might regard as an unusual way. But given their likely interest in astronomy, God was speaking to them in a language that they would understand. I think God is good like that, revealing himself to us in ways that we understand. And it reminds us that God speaks in various ways to lots of different people in lots of different cultures. We can sometimes expect God to speak to us in new ways. And perhaps we might note that we need to be careful not to limit how we believe God communicates. God longs to reveal himself to the whole of humanity. And because we're all different, he'll use different means that get our attention. But as it was with the Magi, the aim is always the same: to invite us and to lead us into our own epiphany, to draw us into recognizing and responding to Christ, the light of the world. Anyway, back to the story. The Magi see the rising star and respond to God's call by journeying together in order to pay homage to the promised king. But why, we might ask, why are they travelling to pay homage to a Jewish king when they are not themselves Jewish? This question brings us to the heart of the meaning of the Epiphany that we celebrate today. In not being Jews, the Magi were, of course, Gentiles. And they have come to symbolically represent the rest of the peoples of the world, to be the first of many to pay homage to Christ the King. The first of a great multitude of people from every nation, every tribe, every ethnicity, and every language, singing with joy their praise to the truth. See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. This is the journey that we are all on, symbolised by the Magi. The spiritual journey of responding to God's invitation to pay homage to Christ, to open our hearts, to take our place and to play our part in the New Jerusalem, along with a rich diversity of people, every age and tribe and ethnicity and language and nation. To pay homage to Jesus Christ, Creator, Saviour, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We've just sung, so most gracious God may we evermore be led to thee. Matthew has been on a journey in his life, having experienced his own epiphany encountering Jesus, and having had his own life changed for the good, he writes a gospel to help to lead others on that same journey. And as the Holy Spirit inspires his writing, he too has the destination of the journey in mind right from the start. Right at the beginning of this most Jewish flavoured of the gospels, right from the get-go, Matthew makes it absolutely clear that Jesus is King and Messiah, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world, for everyone, for every people group, for the whole of humanity. God is not interested in being in an exclusive relationship with just one nation or one type of people or one faith group. Matthew makes clear to any of his readers who had assumed any exclusive claim on God, who assumed that God was on their side, who assumes that their worldview was the right one, Matthew makes clear that the birth of Jesus, Emmanuel, is a gift for the reconciliation of the whole of humanity. Reconciliation to God and reconciliation between people and nations. And the point is that we work out and bring to reality that reconciliation in our relationships now, as part of God's kingdom coming on earth as in heaven. The arms of Jesus are wide enough to embrace everyone. And the arms of Christ's church should also be loving enough and wide enough to embrace all and everyone. And so we, as Walbrook Epiphany, are journeying together. And we too, if we're going to be going in the right direction, need to have this all-embracing destination in mind. And this is where the rubber hits the road in terms of our understanding of the message of Epiphany. This is where the challenge of the good news is. It's hard enough, isn't it, to work out good relationships with people closest to us, with our families and our friends, amongst our own kind. It's harder still, the challenges are greater, in a church community where we are called to have arms wide enough to welcome, accept and embrace everyone. Where everyone can belong, take their place and have a voice, regardless of background or culture, church tradition, race, personality, age, ability, sexuality, theology, personality, and values. Where everyone belongs and is part of God's family. Matthew doesn't tell us how well the Magi got on with one another as they journeyed together, but they were only human, so I'd imagine they had a few stories to tell. But the fictitious journey of Phileas Fogg around the world in 80 days, the three main characters didn't initially choose to journey together. They were very different people, with differing values, differing expectations, differing aspirations, which results in various conflicts and arguments and fallings out. But they also found that they needed one another. And at different points on the journey, each of them played a crucial part. They wouldn't have made it. Indeed, they wouldn't have survived it without journeying together. And that's where we find ourselves as a parish, as Walbrook Epiphany is celebrating our patronal festival today. We find ourselves a diverse and varied group of people, journeying together with the end in mind. A vision of all things made new, of a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, where the full breadth and rich diversity of humanity enjoy the fullness and abundance of love and life with God together forever. The end is going to be wonderful. And with that end in mind, we face the challenge of journeying together, working out our relationships, and deepening our community life so that that wonderful end breaks into the present. And just as the Magi led the way to Jesus, so our church life, our community life, our quality of relationships, we pray may act as a star pointing to the presence of King Jesus amongst us. Amen.